following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
I am excited for us to get back into the book of Ruth. Last week we had a wonderful sermon time from Peter Tweel, who walked us through the book of Jonah and kind of explored the ways that that informs how we think about and how we care for people, for all people, even people we don't know well. Because the simple truth is that God loves all people. God wanted the Ninevites saved. He wanted them to repent, and for the calamity and the destruction that Jonah had told them would come, for that not to happen. And so we are to take that truth to heart and treat and care for people and to see all people the way that God sees people, as God's own beloved creation. Last week we heard about God's love and care and mercy in a grand scale, right? Looking at what that meant for a whole city. And today, as we read Ruth, we'll look at what God's love and care and kindness and provision looks like for an individual or two. Next week, like I mentioned in the announcements, we'll actually kind of continue in that theme as we celebrate the completion for our older confirmation students of their confirmation class. They have been working and learning over the last 3 years, diving deeper into God's Word, asking questions and deepening their relationships with Christ. And so I'm excited for us to get to celebrate with them next week. But as you know, I have a tendency to do, I will not jump that far into what they will share next week, and we'll stay with what we're going to do this week in the book of Ruth. And so this week, we are continuing on in Ruth. But before I read our section for today, let me recap where we are, what we've read, and what we know. So in the introduction, in the first few verses of chapter 1, we met two of our main characters and their family. We met Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and the two moved with their sons Chilion and Mahlon to Moab after a famine struck their homeland in Bethlehem, Judah. Now in Moab, Chilion and Mahlon married Orpah and Ruth, two Moabite women. And as we'll see in our reading today, the fact that they went to Moab and that these women were from Moab is an important part and an important reminder to the readers of this story. And the Moabites, the fact that these two boys married Moabite women would not have been well received by the original audience of the book of Ruth. The Moabites were people who were very poorly thought of by the Israelites. The original audience would not have been expecting anything good to come from Moab. And so while in Moab, Naomi's husband Elimelech died, which was terrible. 10 years later, Ruth and Orpah's husbands, Naomi's sons, died, leaving Naomi in a foreign country without any of her family. What was she to do? She was stuck. But we also know that she wasn't completely alone. She had these two daughters-in-law who were willing to stay with her, which is an incredible gesture. Naomi had this remarkable logic, and she argued with her daughters-in-law, telling them why they should not return with her to Bethlehem. And her arguments made perfect sense. There wasn't great reason for Ruth and Orpah to stay with Naomi. And Orpah relented and gave in to Naomi's logical argument and headed back to her family. Ruth, however, was having none of it. Ruth loved Naomi more than we can probably understand. And that's part of what this book is so beautifully teaching us. She loved Naomi and she was going to stay with her, and showing through that an incredible love and kindness and mercy and loyalty. And so Ruth returned with Naomi to Bethlehem. Though when we left Naomi 2 weeks ago at the end of chapter 1, despite this beautiful show of love from Ruth, it seems as though Naomi had forgotten that she was not alone. When she was speaking with the women that she encountered once she got back to Bethlehem, she forgot to mention that her daughter-in-law, Ruth, had come with her. But although Naomi may have felt alone, we know that God did not leave her alone, and neither did Ruth. And we'll see this morning how that story continues to unfold. So this morning we're going to look at the second chapter of Ruth, all of the second chapter. And if you don't have a Bible and would like one either for today or to keep, but feel free to raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to bring you a Bible. But before we dive into God's word, let me pray for us. Holy God, I pray that your word speaks to us this morning, that we find you in it, that we find your promises to us in it, and that we know you are a God who loves us. And we pray this all in the holy and precious name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather from among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. It's a long passage. We knew at the end of chapter 1 that Ruth and Naomi had arrived back in Bethlehem at the beginning of the season for harvesting barley. And the big question became, for both of them, okay, we're in Bethlehem, we know the famine is over, but what do we do now? And Ruth steps up. Ruth continues this incredible care for Naomi. She wasn't willing to just sit around and wait for something to happen. She went after the one thing she hoped she might be able to do. Gleaning. Following behind the harvesters and picking up what they dropped. Gleaning is, in fact, the way Jewish people are required to care for their poor. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 through 22 says, "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your tree, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this." God is pretty clear here with his people. The law of Deuteronomy is very clear. This is a specific way that the Israelites are to care for their poor, and specifically the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows. Obviously, Ruth fits into this category. And so Ruth heads out to glean, to do something to try to provide a meal. But even with that being written in law, whether Ruth knew that it was in the law or not, it was still a potentially dangerous on-taking. You know the word I'm looking for. Potentially dangerous situation. That's what happens when I don't finish my sentence in my notes. First of all, there was no guarantee that the landowners would follow the law. We know full well that the Israelites did not always follow all of God's law. We know full well that we don't always follow all of what God tells us to do. Just because it was written did not assure that Ruth would be allowed to glean. And even if she was allowed to, who knows how much she'd even be able to gather? Would it be enough to live on? Would it be enough for two people to live on? And then even if the landowner does allow it, it would be very easy for that landowner to make it very, very difficult for potential gleaners. And then there's the potential physical danger. The workers, the servants, particularly the men, may not treat Ruth very well, and she could be very badly harmed. This was a dicey situation. As it turned out, or she happened to, or her hap was to, depending on which version of Ruth you're reading, is maybe my favorite part of this chapter, because the author is just toying with us, trying to make us think that this was just by accident, when we know full well that there was no accident here. Ruth happened to come to Boaz's field. The author of Ruth, and certainly the audience of Ruth, would not have understood those words any other way than to know that God had indeed had a hand in placing Ruth in exactly that place. This was not fate or chance, as we might understand it today. No, this was God. This was God's providential provision for Ruth. Ruth came to the field belonging to Boaz. Boaz. Who is Boaz? I had a professor named Boaz. He was a great professor. Boaz Johnson. He knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. But that's not this Boaz. And we don't know what the name Boaz means, which is a little bit frustrating because we know, and that's been one of the things at play throughout reading this. We knew some of what Naomi mean. We knew some of what Elimelech means. We knew that Chilion and Mahlon's names were rough. Like you knew something bad was going to happen to them because of their names. We don't know what Boaz's name means. But we do learn quite a lot about him. Right off the bat in verse 1, Boaz is called a man of standing. The Hebrew is, Gibor Hahil. Oh, that was so close. But that phrase often speaks of a military standing, of bravery and of warrior-like qualities. In Western culture, the closest thing that we might understand to this would be a medieval knight. Okay? So there's a warrior quality to that, certainly, but there's also an ethical quality to a knight. And so this is how Boaz is known. He's an upright, honest man. And as we will see, a kind man. And we see from Boaz's greeting that he has a reverence for the Lord. And he invites the Lord into his daily life and into the daily interactions with his workers. We also know that he shows concern for a young foreign woman who just showed up at his field. Why should he concern himself with her? But he asks questions, he finds out all about her, and boy, is he impressed. He's so impressed with Ruth that he determines to help her out, far, far beyond what is required of him by the law in Deuteronomy. He speaks with her. He gives her use of water that has already been drawn instead of forcing her to drop everything she's doing, go to the well, fill up her own water, and then come back, losing precious time, precious energy. But here's the gift of water right there for her. He offers her protection. He gives her the assurance of safety and provision here in his field. Why? Ruth wonders the same thing. Because he is so impressed with her loyalty and care and love for Naomi. He's blown away by her actions, and he believes that God will look out for Ruth because of it. Boaz's actions are incredible. From the provision, and not just the bits of grain to be gleaned, but whole sheaves intentionally dropped for Ruth. She's given a midday meal, and she's quite well cared for. And after a day that must have completely blown away Ruth's wildest dreams, she heads home to Naomi. Naomi sees and hears and asks Ruth about her day. And Ruth brings home an ephah of grain, which would be at the very least a week's worth of food, and perhaps as much as 20 days' worth of food. And then Ruth also gave Naomi the leftovers from her meal with Boaz. And Naomi asks the obvious question, the key question, where did you glean today? And what she means is, who did you work for? What incredible man took this kind of care for you? Who provided all of this for you? And Ruth responds, Boaz. That she worked with Boaz. And Naomi must have been ecstatic. Not only is this man taking care of Ruth, but he is also a close relative of Elimelech. He is a Goel, a guardian redeemer or kinsman redeemer. And we'll dive deeper into that specific word next 2 weeks from now. He's someone who Naomi would have at least hoped to connect with, but who she obviously had no expectations of. If she had had expectations that he would do even a tenth of what he did, she would have sought him out right away. So we know that there were no expectations there from Naomi. And Naomi recognizes for the first time here in a long time that God is indeed showing chesed towards her, his loving kindness, his mercy. God has provided for Ruth. God has provided Naomi with Ruth as a companion. She has provided both of them with Boaz. And God's loving kindness, God's chesed, is not to be denied. And in this specific instance, God's own chesed is demonstrated through this specific person, through Boaz. And I think that's a really important thing for us to understand about God's chesed. That quite often, God's chesed is demonstrated through his people following his word. And so when was the last time that each of us took the opportunity to demonstrate God's chesed to someone? We probably don't have the exact situation that Boaz had here, not in the field providing extra sheaves for gleaning, but perhaps a meal, perhaps something in the workplace. There are opportunities there to show and to share and to be the hands and feet of God's chesed in the world. And I also think that it's really important to note that God's chesed is demonstrated perfectly here in a place that is not the church, is not the synagogue, but is in the field, in the workplace. That is where we will have much more opportunity to share and to demonstrate and to be the hands and feet of God's chesed out in the world. So I invite you to find those opportunities to demonstrate, to be God's chesed to someone this week, however that might present itself. Be open to what God may be asking you to do for someone, something that is totally beyond what is required of you, something that is totally voluntary, something that is God's love and kindness and mercy in action for someone who desperately needs it. Naomi and Ruth have been well loved, and they are recognizing God's chesed for them through Boaz. But they're still not out of the woods. Maybe they'll have enough food for a few months, a year, if they're really fortunate. But that's not a home. That's not a future. That's not living life to the fullest. Naomi wants so much more than that for Ruth. And as we'll see, Naomi has a plan, which we'll get to in a couple weeks. Heavenly Father, thank you for your chesed. Thank you for putting people in our lives to demonstrate your chesed for us. And God, help us to be your chesed to others. Help us to show and declare and live out your love, your mercy, your grace for others as we are taught to do. And I pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.